Welcome to the AT Tips Cast, exploring and investigating the implementation of assistive technology in public schools. I'm your host, Chris Bouguet. This is episode number 38, recorded on June 26th, 2009. This episode features the second part of the interview with Chris Cummins, a high school English teacher in East Aurora, New York, as well as an adjunct professor at the State University of New York at Fredonia, teaching a class on literacy and technology. During this second part of the interview, the conversation focuses more on specific tools that can be used to create graphic organizers, while also touching upon some ideas about implementing graphic organizers across the curriculum. Again, forgive me for any residual echo you might hear in the audio. I did my best to clean it up, but some echoing is still present. Embedded within this episode are AT Tips 54, 55, and 56. AT Tips 54 and 55 correspond to the two free graphic organizing software titles mentioned during the discussion. AT Tip number 56 corresponds to the idea of students getting all of their thoughts out of their heads by recording voice notes within the popular, but not free, Inspiration. I'll have all of those listed plus examples of each over at the blog site attipscast.wordpress.com. So, Chris, let me ask you, what tools do you use for graphic organizers? Are you using paper pencil up in the high school level or at the college level? Are you using some sort of online graphic organizing tool? How do you create your graphic organizers?
That's a good question, and I guess the easy answer is everything. Because once you teach a student how to use a graphic organizer, or at the college level, once they teach teacher candidates how to use these in their future classrooms, the goal is essentially to have the student be able to quickly draw one up themselves so that they can clarify their thinking.
So do you start out by giving a template, or do you work through the process of drawing it together?
That's usually what we do.
All of the above?
We do all, like you said, we do all of the above. In terms of professionalism and simple clarity, I tend to use a lot of the computer programs to help me out, and also the kids enjoy using the computer programs, so it's a motivational factor for them. But we also spend some time really just having me state, draw this graphic organizer in your notes, and then we complete it, and we show our thinking within the graphic organizer. But I think that the students like the diversity because they kind of are able to use the professional organizers as models for their own in their notebooks.
Some students might draw. Some students might draw with their paper pencil. Others might use the computer. Whatever they gravitate towards is what they would use. But the end goal of being that what works best for them, they're going to pick up and run with.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I just did a huge research project with the an honors junior's class, and a few of the kids chose to represent the relationships between the characters of a rather complex novel graphically. So they chose a specific program, and they put the information into the various boxes or bubbles or pictures with all the connections, and it was a lot easier for them to do that, whereas other students who were doing a similar analysis simply chose to use Microsoft Word or Open Office and fill in a basic chart.
So you gave them free rein. You choose whatever you want to, and they just gravitated to what they wanted to try.
I think that's best because it's a little differentiated, but also a student's going to feel more comfortable when you give them that option.
Sure. So what, like you said, you mentioned Microsoft Word and Open Office. What other ones have you used?
Well, I think the most popular one is probably Inspiration, and it's probably one of the better ones. There are a lot of little tools that Inspiration has that others haven't gotten down to a science yet, and I've used that the most. I also think it's probably the easiest to put into other formats.
Inspiration is one of my favorites as well, which is not free, but I think it is pretty common, especially like in our school district. It's at the elementary level. It used to be at the middle and high school level. We switched to use something else there. But one of my favorite features of Inspiration, and just in case the folks at home don't know it, is that it has an
record your voice feature. So once you've made your mind map or you made your inspiration web, every cell in inspiration is like its own little entity, and you can insert an audio file or you can record your own voice. So in that way, like you can, I'm always showing students that you have that student that they know what they want to say, but they can't get their thoughts out because they have trouble typing or they have trouble writing it out, you know. But if they sat in a corner with you, they could tell you their whole story, or they could tell you the facts of the essay. They can't physically write it. They could use inspiration to record one sentence or two sentences or, you know, a paragraph per cell and get all their thoughts out that way. And then they could just go back and listen to it and type it in. So that's a strategy I show students all the time, and they always seem to love it after. And they're like, oh, yeah, I can just record my voice. You know, it doesn't type it out for them. They still have to go back and do the physical process of typing it in, but that's a good skill to learn, you know.
I think inspiration is fantastic because it allows that. It also allows – it's really easy to use in terms of hyperlinking, and students, you can almost create any project you want graphically organized. For instance, you could use a inspiration to make a web quest and then give the instructions orally to the students, or have students actually answer things, and then when you read their projects, just click on the little speaker and suddenly they're speaking to you and they're not even there.
That's awesome.
But there are a few out there that are still equally as valuable. There are some free ones. There is one called Vue. V-U-E, it's an open source software, and it's essentially the same in terms of creating your bubbles. You can choose certain pre-made formats or pre-made graphic organizers to simply have people fill in, and it's free. you may have heard of these as well. The first one is FreeMind, and it's
a FreeMind. Now, that's a very popular one.
Yeah. And that one works really well,
free.
Too. Yeah, well, actually, there are so many free options out there. I don't understand how people don't take advantage of them.
Right. Well, I know that. I mean, one of the big problems, like in our school district, I shouldn't say problem, but a hurdle for some teachers would be, like FreeMind and Vue require installations. So
yes,
when you're working with your instructional technology department, they have to make sure that those installations don't mess with the other software that's on the computer. So, I mean, that can stumble, you know, that can be a roadblock in some cases. Anything else you'd like to say about graphic organizers?
I think that they need to be used a lot more. I think students at all levels can benefit from them, but more importantly, we kind of negate their influence by relying on traditional, you know, simple note-taking. I mean, if you can break note-taking down in various subjects graphically, the students are going to have smaller pieces of information to remember, they're more easily remembered, but they can also be used within the context of larger ideas. I kind of wish, actually, I did a lot more graphic organizing when I was younger, because I think I would have had a better memory set, easier, faster recall. I think I could have used the information within something, because the graphic organizer itself is teaching a process. The graphic organizer itself is a concept with regardless of the information. So it denotes a certain logic to something, whether it's cause effect or whether it's like a network, whether it's a problem solution or other interaction, and teachers ignore that. They ignore the power that simple organization has.
Well, I think you've touched on during this whole interview two really important, I mean, really roadblocks or stumbling blocks for a lot of students. And one is the initial stigma in high school that, well, that's graphic organizers are for, you know, middle school or elementary school, and I'm not going to do that. So there's this immediate block, you know, that I think could be broken down by the other thing that you mentioned, which is branching it out to other pieces of curriculum. Other teachers in other curriculum areas outside of English and language arts using graphic organizers for, you know, all different parts of the curriculum, for all those reasons that you just said, would help break down that barrier of, well, graphic organizers are just for elementary students.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that we do a disservice to our students and our own teaching when we ignore something as simple as that.
I think we've mentioned a lot of tools here today, and I think we've given people a lot of strategies that they can go and explore. If they haven't heard of the different graphic organizers that have been mentioned today during the interview, those will be up at the AT Tipscast blog, which is attipscast.wordpress.com. I'll have images of or examples of the different graphic organizers up on the blog as well. Chris, thank you so much for being a guest today on the AT Tipscast.
Thank you for having
me. And please keep up all the good work.
I'd like to thank Chris Cummins for taking the time to talk a bit about his experiences with the implementation of graphic organizers. If you're a teacher who is using various styles of graphic organizers in any curriculum area, I'd love to hear from you. I'll happily post any styles or templates or examples you use with a brief description over at the blog site attipscast.wordpress.com. Or you can reference them yourself by leaving a comment over there as well. Or maybe you use a different graphic organizer and you'd like to share how you implement it in your classroom. Again, I'd love to hear from you. I know Chris and I didn't even touch upon some of the free web-based titles like Mindomo or Mindmeister or BubbleUS. If you use one of those titles or a different one and would like to do a guest segment, send me an email at attipscast@gmail.com. Until next time, may all your interventions be inclusive, may all your strategies be supportive, and again, may all your thoughts be graphically organized.